You may hear a little accent. Yes, I'm a little bit, yeah. My kids are telling me that it's enormous accent, actually. I grew up in Quebec. I'm from Montreal, but 2 years ago, my wife and I, basically God put this on our heart to move here in Hamilton. It was not move, and it was not planned. I never dreamed about living here in Ontario. Nothing against Ontario, but it was not part of my plans. But God always have different plans than ourselves. So let's continue to have God working in our heart. This morning, I feel very privileged and honored to be here. Actually, I did a lesson at 9:30 where I confessed my sin. So if you want to hear about my sin, you should have been there at 9:30. I won't talk about my sin. I'm going to talk about my friends and the work that God is doing in our life. But thank you so much for being here this morning, and hopefully it will be encouraging and inspiring. So you see a picture here. It's a very special picture. It's John and I. If I'm here this morning speaking to you, for sure, it's because of John. That photo was taken a week after a horrible hurricane in Haiti. We are sitting in the back of a pickup. I'm taking a selfie, the two of us. And the crew cab, it was filled with Haitian black people and two white men sitting in the back of the pickup. Everybody on the street were looking at us. They were like, what's going on here? And we had a great time bringing some urgent relief to brothers, to orphans as well, right after a hurricane that destroyed. I will come back to this in a sec. But I'm very grateful for John. After I started to lead the church in Hamilton, he started to attend our annual men's retreat we're doing in the spring. I met him for the first time, and I appreciate John's heart just coming to me, being open, and just asking some advice in some ways. And one of the things he was asking me, you know, I'm getting older, retired, what should I do? I need a plan, a vision for the future. And I told John, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm not God, but I can't tell you for sure. You can come with me next time I'm going to Haiti. And he said, yeah, I will come with you. So we planned a trip in last fall. In October, we're supposed to be a group of 8 people. And the day of my wife and I were supposed to land in Haiti, there was a hurricane that hit where we had our work in the south part of Haiti. And we had to change our plan, and we canceled the tickets for most of the people in the group. But John insisted. He said, I want to be with you, Danny. And I was hesitating a little bit because I don't want to bring somebody with me in an urgent relief setup that will be a burden. And I was like, are you sure, John? He said, yeah, I want to be there. And he's been amazing for the whole time he was there, so giving. He was so generous, bringing some pump to filter the water, and all kind of things, medical. And we had a wonderful week together. I don't have time to share everything. Hopefully, John will share with you one day. This is, am I supposed to? There you go. Okay, I'll go back. It's working now? I just want to go one at a time. Okay, it's good now? Thank you, Adam. So this is John here. We are in a little village called Saint Martin with the man you see here. He's a man that changed my life in a way 3 years ago. His name is Pituel, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, Pituel. Pituel, I saw him for the first time at Easter service of 2014. After the service, after the message, he came from the back. And I remember he's a very tall man, very impressive. With open arms like this, he ran to me and said, I found my family. And I stretched my hand to him and said, my name is Danny, what's your name? And he gave me a big hug and said, it was Pituel. He was looking everywhere for a church in Montreal, and he finally found the church. And he said, this is my family. And we started to get together, and he joined our church. He was already a member of a Church of Christ, but in Haiti, he used to be a minister over there. And he was always begging me to go to Haiti to visit. I went to Haiti, but not in where he's having his work. And I said, yeah, we'll go. Unfortunately, my mom got sick, and I was delayed a little bit. And she finally passed away. Unfortunately, my mom, she had a brain tumor. But the good news, she became Christian before dying. It was great. But after she passed away, I, as I promised, I told Pituel, I will go to Haiti. And my visit there with the work he was doing over there changed for sure the last 2 years of my life. For the first time, I visited an orphanage in Haiti. And because maybe I was grieving the loss of my mom, God really put in my heart to start a work with the orphans in Haiti. And that's how our relationship started together. As I mentioned in the class at 9:30, I confess my sin. I won't do it again at 10:30, but I can be open with the fruits in my life, the beautiful fruits. The woman you see there, Jillian, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. She's my wife. Been married for 18 years. She grew up in Vancouver, but I met her in 97 in Toronto. And that was not part of the plan. When I grew up, I was not encouraged to go after English woman and marry an English. I need to be honest with you. When I met her, I didn't know how to speak English. That's how far I'm coming from. But God had a plan, and we got married in 99. She's an amazing support. She cannot be there this morning. We have a lot of things going on in our church, our upcoming retreat, but maybe next time she can be there. And our two beautiful kids, that's a picture from last year. They're even bigger and taller now. Our son, he just turned 16 this summer. Got baptized last summer. He's doing great and part of the worship team. And our daughter, she's 13 years and a half, and the half is very important. So beautiful family. I feel very, very blessed. And I think the things I'll share about the work in Haiti, I couldn't do it without the support of my wife and family. It's very important, and I don't take it for granted. So I don't know if you heard about that study. There's a website that is very interesting. They do analysis of the world. If the world was broken down to 100 people, what the world would look like. And I think it's very fascinating because sometimes when we talk about the billions of human beings and all the things going on in the world, it's hard to picture and have an image of what kind of world we live in. And I really like that study. In that study, if the world was 100 people, only 7 people would have a college education degree. So if you have one, consider yourself a very privileged person in this world. At least 18 people out of 100 not able to read and write today in 2017. If the world was only made of 100 people, 24 people only would have electricity, and 76% of people we'll have electricity mostly just a little bit at night, but not able to use electricity the way we do. So that's a great privilege. 5 people only out of 100 would own 32% of all the wealth, and the poorest 33 people would receive only 3% of the rest of the income. Do the maths. It's not pretty fair, but that's the world we live in. 26 would be children. 26 out of 100 would be children. 13 of these children would live in poverty. 25 would not have a shelter. 16 would have not toilet. And 17 out of 100 wouldn't have access to clean water. 48 out of 100 people, if the world was 100, would live under $2 per day. 1 would be dying of starvation, and 17 would be undernourished. I don't know for you, but when you look at the reality of our world and you see these stats being broken down for us, if the world was 100, it can be very overwhelming. And you can be like, where do we start? What's the answer? And especially as Christian, we love Jesus, and we know Jesus was close to the poor and helped the poor. A question we can ask ourselves as Christian is, how can I imitate Jesus, and how can I make a difference? I really like that quote, and it will inspire the title of my little sharing today. It's not necessarily a message, a sermon. The title is One. You know, sometimes it takes just one idea, one thoughts to change the world. I like that quote from Norman Vincent Peale. It says, change your thoughts and you will change your world. About 2-3 years ago, there's one thing I heard that changed my way to see poverty. It's Andy Stanley. He said this. He said, do for one what you wish could do for everyone. I found that quote very, very inspiring and calling me to action. Because when I look at the problem of poverty, sometimes I feel overwhelmed and I don't know where to start. And Andy Stanley helped me to put this in perspective and is telling, I felt challenged by, you know, don't focus on everyone. Just focus on one person and do to that one person what you would like to do to everyone. I was like, wow, this is pretty easy. That's something I can do. And also, I reread the parable of Jesus we read just earlier when Jesus talked about the judgment at the last day. And that verse really struck to me in verse 40 when Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And I never pay attention to that word in the verse 40 of Matthew 25. I read that story many times. Jesus is not saying do to everyone, to the billions of people or the millions of people. He said, when you do to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do it for me. So two things Jesus is doing here in the parable. He's helping us to put in perspective the problem of poverty. When we touch and reach and help one person who's living in poverty, it's not to a human being you're doing this most and foremost. It's to God himself you're doing it. And what Jesus is emphasizing here in the parable, he said, you don't need to touch masses of people, just to one person. This is I want you to focus on. And I started with that thought, and I teach this to the church in Hamilton 2 years ago when I moved there. I share with the church that, you know, the situation of Haiti was on my heart. And we decided to start a project in Haiti, the poorest country in our hemisphere. We know in 2010 was hit by a terrible earthquake. The consequence of that earthquake was terrible. We estimate at least 220,000 deaths and many, many injured. I've been in Haiti a few times, and there's not one Haitian I meet don't have a story to share with that earthquake. There was that Haiti before the earthquake and Haiti after the earthquake. The situation in Haiti, it's pretty harsh with the unemployment. There's some stats saying it's as high as 70%. Some of the stats will say 40, 45%. Anyway, when I go in Haiti, I don't meet many people who have a good, steady job as we do. 2/3 of the population live with about $1.50 per day. According to UNICEF, there's in Haiti, as we speak right now, at least 100,000 orphans and also 300,000 Restavec. Restavec, they're not orphans per se. They may have parents. Their parents may be alive, but their parents living in such a poor condition that the kids are being given to other people, and they're working as a servant. And, you know, organization like UNICEF compared to their situation almost like contemporary slavery. The kids live in very, very poor condition, don't go to school, and all their life starting at very young age consists of serving and working very hard. So just in case you don't know where is Haiti, I don't know if I have something to point here. Is it? A laser. There you go. So this is Florida, big island of Cuba, Jamaica, Dominican Republic. And on that same island, that part, like a horseshoe, this is Haiti. It's not that big. And there's at least a 12 million population on that small island. So the capital of Haiti, this is Haiti. And the capital is right there in the bay, big bay here. This is where the earthquake did most of the destruction. Our project, it's in Likai. This is where our friend Pituel is from, the work in Likai. And also there's another place where we needed to bring some help. It's Saint Martin. So I'll mention these two names just for you to be able to understand and have a map. So the church in Hamilton created a nonprofit organization where all the money will be sent there in order to help the hurting children. And we called our orphanage Oasis Home for Kids. The first phase, we had a plan for 2 years or so. We would have 12 orphans, and we would create, hopefully, 7 jobs. That was the vision at first. So in May of last year, 2016, this is the house of Pituel, who's here with us. He came, and I visited his house. So his house was just that part here. And we had a deal together. We said, hey, let's use that house with 2 bathrooms and 4 rooms. And we're going to welcome the first orphan in that part. And what we're going to do, we're going to build a second level. And this is where Pituel's family, the staff, will live. And that's what we started in May 2016. Just building a second level for Pituel's family, the staff. And we would welcome for the fall the first few kids. So that was 4 months later in August. You can see it changed a little bit. We painted. The second floor was built, and we were ready to welcome the first kids, and we were very excited. So when we received the first kid, it was August 6th. I asked Pituel to send me a picture. I was excited. I want to see the kids. I was not there myself. And I must admit, when I first received the picture, I was so shocked. I was shocked and I was ashamed to show them to the church, because you look at the picture of these kids. These kids were hurting. You can see obviously on their face, they don't look happy. And I didn't feel good to show these pictures to the church. I kept them for myself. And I felt very sad. And it was my first contact helping poor kids, helping orphans. You know, sometimes you see in the movie, you know, we're going to adopt kids. And it's going to be beautiful. They'll come and everything will be great. But the thing we realize when you start helping people in a situation like this, they are sick. They are in school. Most of them, we didn't even know their date of birth. They have no paper. We had to make up a date, make up a birthday date. And even guessing their age was absolutely a weird experience. But this is an example of one of the child, Salenka, 7 years old. 1 month later, I received that picture, and I was much more happy, and I showed this picture to the church because I could see the big difference, the happiness, the smile, and I was, okay, we are going somewhere. And then, in September 2016, 8 kids were ready and excited to start school. The demand, the needs were so overwhelming. We're supposed to start with 4, but Pituel was always like, there's another need. There's that child. And I have a hard time to say no. I say, okay. So we started, and we had the 8 kids, and it was so exciting. And I don't know if you heard, in early October last year, there was a terrible hurricane, Matthew, that started to hit. And it started to hit in Haiti. And as you can see, the heart of the hurricane was exactly where we have the orphanage in Likai. That hurricane killed more than 800 people, destroying everything on its path. I was blown away when I went back after with John to see it was like ground zero everywhere. All the trees were down. It used to be very green, very luxurious around the orphanage, but all the trees were down, all the electric posts in the street. It was such a mess. The road was destroyed halfway from the capital to Likai. Nobody could go there unless you would rent big 4x4 and some equipment. So that's what we did with John when we went there. We rented big trucks, 4x4, fill it with rice and food, knowing that the people and the kids at the orphanage needed our help. And 1 week after the hurricane only, we were there on ground just helping people at the orphanage. And it was my first contact, personal contact with the orphans. And it was so touching and so moving. The first time I met them, they were so warm. They were so affectionate. And that's another thing I didn't expect, you know. Like I was thinking, it will take some time to build a relationship, but orphans are not like this. They are so joyful. They're so grateful. They just took us and put their arms around us, and we felt so much love. And already in the first few days, we're coming to bring help, but I felt inspired more than I was bringing help over there. So anyway, it was great to meet the kids, but sobering to see what was happening. Our brand new orphanage, 60% of the roof of the second level was destroyed. It was flooded. It was pretty disturbing. Many houses around were destroyed, and they had to run and take refuge in the main floor of our orphanage. That's one building that was we projected to have the girl, the extension for the girl. It was totally destroyed, as you can see, in Pituel, trying to clean up and pretty discouraged. And there's a church building also, Church of Christ church building, just 2 minutes walk, 1 minute walk from the orphanage. The roof was totally gone. All the things inside were destroyed. And it was very discouraging because this is where we projected to build a school with the second and third level. And we were at that situation. So 2 months only after starting the orphanage, we had a debt estimated about $70,000. The well was corrupted. The solar panel was gone. All the destruction you see. And I was just turning to God and say, why? Why allow this to happen? And I just felt, you know, when Jesus asked the disciple to take the boat and cross the lake, you know, when they're in the middle of the lake, there's a storm, and the disciple, they were screaming and afraid. I just felt like this last fall. I was overwhelmed. I was like, God, why are you doing this? You asked me to do this, and I did. And halfway through, we're in the middle of a storm, and it's so overwhelming. We don't know where to start. So this is the house of, I'll come back. This is the house of the evangelist, just 5 minutes walk from the orphanage. And that's one of example. All the house lost the roof, was flooded, and we had so much construction to do, not only for the orphanage, but also for the people with the houses around. So at this point, Adam, if you can help me, we're going to show a little video. We'll help you. You'll see John also in action. It's interesting. And you'll see the video was done in December after we came back from the trip after the hurricane. I look tired. I have bags under the eyes. I'm pretty discouraged. And to be honest with you, I was a little bit faithless about the future, what will happen. But we'll have the good news coming up after. So you saw a little bit, John, in the video. An hour and a half from the orphanage, there's a little village called San Martin. As you saw on the video, we have about 60 brother and sister from Church of Christ. I went there a few months, a year before the hurricane. And when I was there, as you see in the video, the road was destroyed, and people didn't eat at all for at least a week. And the only thing they were doing is drinking coconut water. And when we arrived in the village, we had to walk through the ocean because the road was destroyed. They were so excited when they saw the food, the help we were bringing. But it was very, very humbling, and I felt overwhelmed because their public bathroom, little bathroom latrines, outside, they were destroyed. And while I was walking in the village, and we were visiting through the village to see the damages, these public bathrooms, they were destroyed. And people, they were just standing on top of the hole, making their business, and there's nothing to hide them. And I was like, wow, that was very shocking, very disturbing. And most of our brother and sister, they lost their home, lost everything. And suddenly, that was not the plan when we first started to help, but all these people were looking at me and just saying, how can you help? So on top of all the problems we had with the orphanage, that village, our brother and sister, need help to rebuild their church building, public bathroom, and homes, at least 20, 30 homes. And I estimated the cost about 70 thousand US with all the damages. So I don't want to go on all the details, but by faith, and I cannot take credit, it was totally God. God did an amazing thing. By last July, just last month, we were able to fix the house you saw for the girl completely. It looks great, and we're ready now to build on the second level and fill this place and having up to 30 orphans. The church building was fixed also, and we are now ready to build the two other level. And our dream is to have a school for at least 250 kids. And we don't want kids who can't afford to go to school. There's so many families who cannot afford to put their kids to school. It's shocking. Every time I go to Haiti, I have single moms, family are very poor, ready to give us their kids for the orphanage. And we tell them, we don't want to take kids. You need to stay with your kids. But they have no hope. So our idea is to build that school to be able to give them an opportunity to learn how to read and write, and one day make a difference for their country. And in the last few months, we were able to bring help to 150 families, rebuild homes, and even a church building. And all that happened because we trusted God and just focusing on one person at a time. And God did the rest. So this is the picture of the new extension. There's now two big rooms. One will be a cafeteria, another one a classroom. Over there, there's bathroom, there's a kitchen. And on the second level of that building, we're going to be able to welcome a 15 girl. This is the church building. Pretty pink, pretty. So you don't see, but it's pretty big building. Can sit at least 150 people. But now what we did, we redid the roof with concrete. And we add a lot of pillar to the walls and the center of the building. So now we're going to be able to build a second and third level on that building to welcome kids who are very hurting in the area. We started a microloans project in the midst of all this spring. So $10,000 went to 34 people. Most of them, they are brother and sister in Christ, to help them to expand their business or start a small businesses. And so what we do, we give them a chunk of money, not that big, $200 to about $500 US, and they pay back every month with a very, very low interest rate, and that encouraged them a lot. And so far, 100% of people who borrow money were able to pay their due on a monthly basis, which is very encouraging. Our goal is in the next few years to grow that fund to $100,000 dollar US and helping more than 300 people in that area. I think that project is very important because the orphans, when they get the age of 18, we need to release them. And I want them to land where they have something solid for their life. And I think that project will help them to learn a work and starting a business when they're turning 18. And the people who will be successful with that project will be serving as mentor for the young orphans or young people in the area. Finally, we have a mission trip. You are welcome to come anytime. This summer, we welcome our first group. We were 33 campus students, young adults coming from everywhere in North America. We had one man from France, one girl from England as well. It was a fantastic time. I was concerned that people with the language barrier will be a problem, but it was not a problem at all. People in Haiti, they love people coming from all over the place, and the language is not an issue, certainly not with the kids. So all this group were able to rebuild the buildings, painting. We went to the village of Saint-Martin. We started to rebuild the church, fix some of the bathroom. And we have a long way to go, but it was so encouraging. The people in the village were so encouraged. So that was in March. You can see just a picture with the kids. Very happy, very joyful. We have now 13 kids. This is an example of a situation in a girl. There's a brother from Newmarket, just north of Toronto. He's from Lekai. He lost his mom, and he had to go to Lekai for a funeral. And while he was there for the funeral of his mom, one of his sister was taking care of that little girl, Christella, We don't know the parents, no father, no mother, no paper, nothing. And she was just living with that brother, sister, and she was overwhelmed. She didn't know, sorry? Yeah, and she was staying with them. She was a resta avec kid, and she didn't know what to do. And that brother, he asked Pituel, he visited the orphanage, can you take that girl? And we said, yeah, for sure, we'll take her. And then you can see her having a good time with my daughter. She's the most joyful and giving girl in the orphanage. When I was there in March, there's a sister in the church. Her name is Gertrude. And there's that little girl. She just lost her mom just 2 weeks before I was there. And the sister in the church cannot take care. If you see the condition she's living in and already taking care of so many people, and she was begging us, can you take care of her? And she also asked, can we do the funeral for the mom? Because they had no money to do the funeral and bury the mother properly. I asked Anise, what's her dream? Her only dream was going to school, learning to read. She didn't have a chance to go to school. So I promised her I'll talk to my friends when I come back in Canada. And we were able to pay for the funeral. And she is now part of the Oasis Home for Kids. And she's the most joyful and affectionate child over there. And there's so many stories I could share. Every time I go to Haiti, there's a pile. There's kids on the waiting list that I go and visit. One of the child we had last time I was there, living in a very poor neighborhood of the city. And when we went to get him, it was very cool to see everybody in the surrounding coming, circling us in the little alley. It was a little bit scary, but they were happy because they know that child is like he won the lottery and knows that he's going to have a future. There's two other kids we went to visit living in a very, very poor condition, lost their mom and dad, totally unknown. And just across that where they live, there's a poor woman with five kids. We didn't talk to her. She heard about us, and the next day she was at the orphanage waiting for a long time, just wanted to talk to us. And she's a lady that she wanted to give some of her children so we take care of her. And we told her that we don't want to separate kids from their mom, but she's hoping that we can build a school and we can help her. That woman has a sister just living nearby, 10 kids, and living in a small home. You can see through holes in the roof. And they all, the 10 of them with their mom sleeping on one bed. I couldn't believe it. I look inside and it was only one bed. And I was like, where everybody sleep? And they look at me as a bizarre question. We all sleep in that same bed. And we have no idea how comfortable we live in and how much we can make a difference. And just a few dollars can make a big difference. So as I close, I want to read this scripture, Galatians. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. I know it can be, burdensome sometimes. It can be overwhelmed to hear all these stories, but the Bible is teaching and encouraging us to not being afraid of the needs, especially of our brothers and sisters, and not growing weary, and just do what we can to make a difference. And we cannot see, but that's our budget. It's about $120,000 this year. It's totally by faith, but God was awesome, and we received help from all over the place. This morning, thank you, John, for giving me the opportunity and the elders of this church. I just ask you to pray for us and to consider as a church. You can talk with the leader, with the elders. If you want to help us and contribute with our cause, as I mentioned in the video, 100% of the money is going there. We're not taking any admin fees here. And it's all on a volunteer basis for people in North America. And we try to employ staff over there. And of course, you can receive tax receipt, and we can talk with the leaders about all these details later. So on the behalf of my family, the kids, the staff in Oasis, thank you in advance. If you're willing and can participate, no matter how you can give. At this point, I'll give just 2 minutes to Pitzuel. He doesn't speak English, but he kind of come and say a few words for us this morning. This man is doing a remarkable job in Haiti.
Bonjour tout le monde. Bonjour tout le monde.
Good morning, everyone.
C'était vraiment un réel plaisir pour moi d'être ici avec Danny.
It's a true pleasure to be with you this morning among you.
Je viens de revivre ce qu'on a vécu il y a quelques mois.
It's like I experienced once again what we've been through the last few months, watching and everything this morning.
Je me sens encore un peu attristé par la situation.
I still feel sad in some way by the situation over there.
Mais j'ai appris une chose ce matin.
But I learned one thing this morning.
De n'avoir pas peur de la situation.
To not be afraid of this difficult situation.
Mais d'agir dans la situation.
But to act and taking action with this situation.
Donc c'est pourquoi ce matin.
That's why this morning.
Je vous invite à agir avec nous.
I appeal and I ask you to act with us.
Dans la situation des enfants orphelins en situation difficile en Haïti.
With the situation difficult with the kids, but also with all the population.
Je veux remercier John Fleming.
I want to thank John Fleming
pour sa visite en Haïti avec nous, surtout au CAI.
For his visit in Haiti, especially in Le CAI.
Et je vous invite tous à venir nous voir, passer du temps avec nous.
I invite each one of you to come anytime that you wish.
Et de démontrer la compassion de Jésus-Christ dans votre cœur pour les enfants d'Haïti.
And have an opportunity to demonstrate your compassion for the kids in Haiti.
Merci de votre attention.
Thank you so much for your attention this
Merci
morning.
Merci de votre prière.
Thank you for your prayer.
Merci de vos supports.
Thank you for your support.
Et Oasis vous remercie déjà.
And Oasis is thanking you in advance. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Have a blessed week.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.